I was gonna, there was a word that I was gonna bring, and the last couple of weeks, the Lord had been prompting me on this word, and then this last week here, he changed it and said, save that for another time. So I'm saving it for another time. But I'd like to start with, in the Old Testament, the book of 1 Samuel 3:10. And this is from I read the Tanakh, so bear with me, some things will be a little different. The Tanakh is the direct Hebrew translation. So, and it says, Hashem came and appeared and called, as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel spoke and said, for your servant listens. Now this was, you got to remember, this was Samuel was dedicated to the Lord. And as a result, he was studying and learning in the temple under Eli. And Eli had gotten very old, and Samuel was starting to develop. And you got to remember that Samuel, before this, Samuel heard a voice calling, saying, Samuel, Samuel. Well, he jumps up and he runs to see Eli. What do you want, master? Well, Eli, what do you need? So I didn't call you. Go back to bed. So he went back and laid again by the altar. And again it said, Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up and he runs to Eli again. And Eli tells him, that's not me. Answer that voice when it calls you. And that's where it turned, and here he says, I'm listening. I'm here to listen. But you notice that it wasn't the instant, the very first time, that God called Samuel, that Samuel responded to him and recognized his voice, knowing it was the voice of the Lord. It wasn't someone else. It wasn't something else. It was the voice of the Lord. And he learned the voice of the Lord. And that's what I want to speak a little bit on today, is actually hearing the voice of the Lord. We all say, oh, I heard the Lord say that. But how many different ways throughout time and today do we hear the voice of the Lord? The first encounter was audible when God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and he spoke audibly to them. He talked with them. And through Jesus, now we're able to get back to that same point. But so God speaks audibly. He also rebukes audibly too. Cain killed his brother Abel. And God knew he was going to do it. He knew he did it. But yet he asked him, well, what's going on? Where's your brother? What'd you do? Oh, I didn't do anything. Yeah, his blood has cried out. I know what you did. And then he punished him. He did the same with Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve violated his rules, they went and hid from the voice of the Lord. There's always, sometimes we don't want to hear the voice of the Lord. I know there's been times that the Lord has scolded me for doing something I shouldn't. He has touched me and said, no. So sometimes you want to hide from the voice of the Lord, but we never can. The Lord always knows where we're at, knows where we're going, and knows where we're going to be ahead of time. Another way that the Lord speaks is through the Holy Spirit. And a good example of that was Moses. When Moses went the burning bush, it wasn't an audible voice that he was hearing. God was making his words known to his spirit. Just like when we are touched by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit prompts us and is doing something, when I hear the Holy Spirit, I hear my voice. The Holy Spirit touches our spirit, and the two become one. The Holy Spirit is in there with us. So why would it sound any different than me when he's connected with me? The two become one, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will speak to us. Another thing is the written word. That's why it's very important that we study the word, we read the word, and know the word, so that we know the word is God and coming from God. And the way we do that is by studying it, by studying with other people, study groups, reading the word, knowing the word, and understanding the word, and being able to communicate the word with other people, being able to reach out and be able to touch others with the word, and encouragement there. Now, and sometimes the Lord speaks to us through other people. There may be someone that, I'm not talking to somebody who comes off the street and starts talking to you because you don't know where they're coming from. But I'm saying, like, if someone you respect, someone that you know, may come up and tell you something. They may just speak it to you. They may give you opportunities. And the Lord will use other people to touch you, sometimes answer questions. It's his way of spending that time with you through others, because he wants us all to be one unit, not a bunch of different. All you look at the wall with the bricks, they're all individual, but it made the wall. And that's what God wants for us as well. He wants us to be that unit, that group, that gathering. Sometimes the Lord will give us visions. And we'll see things that you think aren't real. I saw this. I saw a flash of light that wasn't there, you know. It's visions that God is giving us and helping us to interpret it. He also gives us prophets. There are prophets out there. I remember when I first got saved and we came here, and I was maybe about 6 weeks I'd been saved. And I was coming, and I just couldn't get enough of God. I couldn't get enough of the church. If there was something going on, I wanted to be here and involved with it. I just wanted to be in the presence of God so bad. And this guy came up to me, and I didn't really know who he was. I'd seen him around a little bit. I had no idea who he was. And he came up to me and he said, "Thus says the Lord, you are going to sit at the gate of the tabernacle." And I'm like, What are you talking? Gate of the tabernacle? Where you want me to go sit? Or, you know, I had no idea what he was talking about. And he said, "No, what that means," and he showed me some Bible scriptures right away. So here the Lord was using him to talk to me and explain something to me. And then he came and he brought the Bible verses to back it up. And it said that the ones in leadership, the leaders of the church, sat at the gate of the tabernacle. They sat there. People would come to them for advice. People would come and speak to them and seek them out. And like I said, I had just found out that when people were raising their hands in church, they didn't have a question. They were actually praising God. And I thought, you know, the pastors were rude. Those people want a question. Hey, I got a question. And that's what I had no more than just understood, okay, that's what they're doing. And yet this guy comes up to me and he tells me I'm going to be sitting at the gate. I'm going to be one of the leaders of the church. And I'm like, yeah, right. Right, who is this crazy guy? And it was less than 6 months of being here at the church, and I was elected to the board of directors. And went into leadership, and have ever since I've been involved in the leadership of the church since then. But here he had spoken that. He's not in here right now, but that young man is still a member of our church and still here. And he still has the word of the Lord. So that it just shows you that the Lord uses us in many different ways, speaks to us in many different ways. There are also times when you have prophetic dreams. The Lord can speak to us while we're sleeping in our dreams. He will give us different things in those dreams. Understanding them, sometimes it's hard to do. There's a lot of books out there, a lot of study materials on interpreting dreams. But it's important to know that those crazy dreams that you're having, especially the ones about the body or about someone in the body, those are the Holy Spirit talking to you in the dreams, and God is talking to you through the dreams. And then understanding the interpretation and, like I said, and being able to do it. So there's another way that God reaches out and touches us and talks to us. But you know, this is going to seem a little off, but there's a guy called the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you'd like to call him. And he was kicked out of heaven because he was too arrogant. He was too pretty. He wanted to control heaven. He wanted to run heaven. And the Archangel Michael drove him out along with a third of the angels of heaven because they were going with him. But he kicked him out. And you can find in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Ezekiel, both tell you about him and who he was and how he was kicked out. But you know, he has some knowledge, he has some things there that he brought with. And he's also in, no, those were Old Testament. A lot of people, oh, that's Old Testament. Well, the book of Revelation is new. Hardest book to understand, but that's new. And in Revelation 12:9, it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." He was thrown out. He's angry. He doesn't like us because we love God. And he was an angel. He was a seraphim. And he was cast out by an archangel. So you got to be careful, too, that the devil will try to talk to you. The devil's going to try to convince you that he's right. He's going to try to convince you in a multitude of different ways. The devil has spoken audible, just like God, talking. In the Garden of Eden, in the shape of a snake, the devil convinced Eve to violate what God had told her not to do. He was so convincing about God and knowing what God said. Didn't he say you could eat of anything in the garden? What's wrong with this? Come on, eat this. The devil will try to talk to us in different ways as well. And he will try to tell us that he is capable of helping us. He'll get us through it. He knows what's going on. He had talked to Adam and Eve. And there again, Old Testament, devil talking to people and trying to convince them to do this and do that. And gets his little demons to run around and get in your ear and whisper to you. A little bit will hurt. It's not that bad. Not like you're committing murder. So what? Just do it. It's okay. See? Didn't hurt you. He'll try to do it. He'll try to talk. He'll try to talk to us there. But in the New Testament, he also was verbally speaking, audibly speaking. In Matthew 4, 3 through 4, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou art the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." Right away. Using, if you're God's son, do it. Do it. You can do it. And then Jesus said, but Jesus answered and he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What was Jesus doing? What did Jesus do to him? Jesus took the words that he was speaking and he knew the word better than Satan. He understood the word better than Satan. He was the word. So when Satan came out and said, "Oh, dude, turn it into bread. Or cast yourself down. It's written that if you cast yourself down, he'll send 1,000 legions to protect you. Go ahead, show me." But every time that he tried to tempt Jesus, Jesus answered him with the word, the written word, audibly talking to him, but using the written word and understanding the word in order to fight back. To defeat him again. He's defeated all the time. So there's, when you look at it, there are some similarities of the way the devil tries to talk to you and the way God talks to you. The biggest one that he is not able to do is he cannot talk to you as the Holy Spirit does. Because he can't connect into you. He can't come into your heart and be one with you, with your soul, with your spirit. He can't do it. Only God can send the Holy Spirit to you. Only through God Can we receive the Holy Spirit? The devil will try to convince you he can do the same thing. Exactly. The greatest liar of all time. Different ways that we are shown the difference is when we pray to God, he answers us. If you pray to the devil is not going to answer you. He's going to trick you. He's going to try to destroy you. He's going to lie to you. God won't lie to you. He's going to tell you the truth. We may not like it. We may not like some of the things that God has to say to us, but he's still going to talk to us. He's going to be honest, and it will be straight. It will never, God will never lie to you. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're never going to lie to you. Because, say, you may not like what you hear, but he's not going to lie to you. It's going to be honest. It's going to be truthful. God is positive, and everything that he does is positive. God doesn't do negative things. Even though God throughout history has punished nations, has used Israel and others to destroy nations, but he's not going to be negative. Everything is positive. There's reasons why he does everything he does. The devil, on the other hand, is always going to be negative. Yeah. You know? Ephraim, I really like your haircut, buddy. What an ugly looking haircut. That's what the devil will do. He will seek out and look for any weakness that you may have and try to convince you it's a positive, when it's really a negative. God will tell you outright it's a negative. And he will use, again, his word, the Holy Spirit, and maybe even audible to tell you that is negative in your life and I want it to stop. I want it gone. And you will find that the other thing with the devil is that anything that glorifies him is not in the word. You're not going to see anywhere in God's written word that the devil is glorified, that the devil is put up on a pedestal. That's where he wants to be, though. He feels he should be on that pedestal above God. But it's negative, negative, negative with him. That's all he knows. That's all he knows is negativity. But he's really good at trying to convince us it's positive. Really good at trying to convince us that what he wants us to think is the right way. Don't listen to what God's telling you. Oh, you can't be a prophet. How could you be a prophet? Because the Lord said, I'm a prophet. He made me a prophet. He gave me that gift. Then I would prophesy. I'm not saying I'm a prophet, though. But so the devil's going to try his best to be convincing that we're not doing what we think we are doing. And the other thing is, too, when we spend more time with the Lord and we start hearing the voice of the Lord as he's speaking to us, we're building on that relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. We're building on that relationship. We know, we're starting to know, okay, wait a minute, that is God's voice. Just like with Samuel, it took 3 times before he answered the Lord and understood that it wasn't Eli, it was God talking to him. But it took him 3 tries before he caught on and started to recognize and understand that voice, knowing that was the voice of the Lord. The Bible tells us that Sheep know their shepherd's voice. They respond to it. They respond to the voice of their shepherd. It's amazing because even I didn't have much experience with sheep, but when I was a kid, we used to spend a lot of time on my uncle's farm in New York. And he was had the cows and had to be milked, and we'd have to go out and get the cows. And it was amazing because my one cousin that was basically doing all the milking, he'd go out there, he'd give a whistle, he'd give a holler. Two is just call it by their name. He had names for all these cattle, all these cows. And he'd call this cow, "Bessie, get over here." All of a sudden starts following him. It knew his voice. We'd be out there as boys would be out there and trying to get these cows, and they wouldn't do nothing for us. We're chasing them, we're yelling at them, and yeah, they wouldn't hardly move. And he'd go out there, "Come on." Next thing you know, they're all going in, right into their stalls. Right, they know which ones is theirs, where they're supposed to go. He'd get in there and start milking the cows. But the same thing with the shepherd, with the sheep, is the sheep know their master's voice, the shepherd's voice. And that's why it's so critical for us to understand when the Lord is speaking to us, the Lord's voice, knowing his voice. And there again, it's important that we study the word, know the word, spend time in prayer in the presence of the Lord. Always spend time in the presence. Sometimes the Lord has us speaking in tongues because he wants it private between us and God. It's not for anybody else or the devil, so he has us speak in tongues. And it can be amazing how the Lord can do that. I had got a good friend of mine who's a missionary in Africa, and he was talking to this young couple, African couple, and he started speaking in tongues. And when they were done, the young man says, "I can't believe it. I didn't know you spoke that ancient Lugandan language." What ancient? "Well, you were talking to us in this Lugandan language." And says, "Oh, okay." So then when he got done and they had left, and he says, "Lord, why didn't you just have me speak the words to them in English? They understand it, and I can just..." And the Lord kind of hit him. He said, the Lord came back to Holy Spirit, said, "Because it wasn't for you, dummy, it was for them." And he's like, okay. But understanding, and that's why it's important that we spend time in prayer, we spend time in the word, we spend time in fellowship with others, other believers, and we just continue to press in to that relationship with the Lord. The more we pray, the more we read, the more we fellowship, the more we draw closer to that relationship with God, to him. That's where it's at. That's our ultimate goal. Don't let the devil try to convince you that you're not, that you don't have a relationship with him. He's a liar. He is going to try everything and anything he can. And then we turn around and we want to give him power. You know what kind of power Satan has?
Zero.
He has no power. He has no authority, none, except when you say, "Oh, devil, here it is. You can have authority over me on this." No. Tell him, beat it. Go. Just like Michael did when he went after the body of Moses and Michael says, God rebuke you. Be gone. He had to leave. He didn't have the authority to stay there. And you can do the same when he's trying to interfere with your relationship with God. Nothing is more important or better than that relationship with the Lord. Through Jesus, when Jesus rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit came onto us, what happened was, back when Adam walked with the Lord in the cool of the day is where we're at. That's the relationship. We're back to that relationship with God, where we have that walking with the Lord in the cool of the day, seeking his face, spending time with him. That's where it's all about. The more time we spend with the Lord on positive things, not negative, but positive things, the better that relationship gets. It's just like your relationship grows in a marriage. And believe it or not, the longer you're married, the closer you get. So, I mean, that's important. My wife and I have our newlyweds, you know, 50, almost 53 years. And our relationship gets better all the time. We get closer together. It's a lot of times we'll be answering each other's statements before they're dead. We have our, never even get to talk about it. Of course, she never listens to me anyhow, but that's how we get along so good. I talk, she doesn't. But it's, again, it's a relationship. And relationships grow stronger, better, the more time that you're in that relationship, the more that you do it. But you got to work at it. It's not just something that just happens. You do that with any relationship. When you're fellowship, you've got people that you fellowship with, that you spend time with. And your relationship builds with that fellowship. You get to know each other better. You get to understand each other better. And the Lord just wants to walk in the cool of the day with us and spend that time in our presence, him and us. But there again, remember hearing the shepherd's voice and knowing that it's him. And you're going to do that when you get into the Word. Anybody who doesn't get into the Word, you need to. You need to. I know there's a multitude of different versions of the Bible out there, but you need to get into the Word. And when you do, you will be able to use it as another tool against the negative thoughts of the devil. Eliminating those to the point that he's irritated. He may try to come at you right and left. I remember John Kilpatrick when he was here. And he said his wife thought he was really crazy because he came in the house and he was all excited and he's, yes, oh, fantastic. She says, what? He says, I don't know yet. She says, what do you mean? He said, well, I have been under so much attack from the devil. He has been hitting me right and left with anything and everything he can to try to get into my way. She says, so what's the happiness about? There's got to be something great coming because he's trying to prevent it. He knew that Satan will only come at you because you're not his. If Satan stops trying to come at you, it means that he already owns you. He won't bother with his own. So again, that relationship with God, the relationship with the Holy Spirit, is what keeps him at bay. And understanding those words, understanding that knowledge, and just looking for that tremendous time and relationship that we have with him here on earth. Just imagine when we get our reward and go to heaven, what that one's going to be like. That relationship. Just going to be awesome. Okay, I'm going to close here in a second. But what I'm going to do is, anybody that needs prayer for anything, if I could have the prayer teams come forward again like we did last week and prepare. And anybody in any need that you have, whether it's physical need, financial need, emotional need, if you need to, you know, just come and ask for understanding and wisdom as you're reading the word and getting into the word, because the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all when it comes to the word. So if you just want to do that, so if we can have the prayer teams come forward then. And Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I just want to say a blessing over your people here, Lord. Father, I ask that this week that every one of us spends more time with you, spends more time getting to know you in that relationship, Lord, and listening to the voice of our shepherd that we know is your voice. In the name of Jesus, amen.